Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here's the host of The Pleasure Zone, sensual movement artist, relationship and sex alchemist, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we have a doozy of a fun conversation. We're talking about underwear. Underwear in all its forms, its history, its mystery, its delights and its insights, all of it. Underwear. Why are we talking about underwear? This is going to be sounding so weird, but it's literally because I was like folding laundry the other day. And when I was like, I wonder what I should talk about on the Pleasure Zone this week. And sometimes that's what happens is I either get ideas from clients or sometimes they just pop up from nowhere. And this one happened to come up because I was listening to my everything, I suppose. Things sometimes get loud for me. And so I'm just like, you know, being attentive and listening. And all of a sudden I'm folding laundry. And I swear to you, the laundry's having like a conversation with me. So the first thought I thought of, it's like folding laundry. And I was like, I wonder how old my underwear is. I don't really think about it. I don't like put dates on my underwear to think about how old they are. And also in our family, well, I can't speak for all of us, but I'm going to go generational from me to my mother, to my grandmother, to my great grandmother, because that's how far I can account for with the history of underwear in our family. But I think this habit in our family is changing. So going back historically in our family, there are some weird quirks with underwear, and I will tell you guys about them later if you haven't already heard me talk about that. I don't know if I have or not, but it was all because of this. And then I'm thinking about how old is underwear actually? Like, how long have people had underwear? And like, people who go commando, is that unhygienic? Like, is there an issue? Well, we're going to dive into all of that and why not, because it's underwear and underwear is fun and funny to talk about, I think. Whether you call it panties, underwear, gitch. I remember that word going around. That was the 90s. Your gitch. And then, oh, and then like other languages, you know, names for underwear as well. So coming from like a Serbian background, but I also have lots of other sides to me as well. And we'll be talking about the Scottish side that is the one that has the issue with underwear, the long lineage of the Scots and the Welsh. Well, that is actually the Scottish side that we'll be talking about, but married into a Welsh side. But anyway, we will be talking about that crazy quirk about underwear. And the thing that we will be talking about is all about like, why is underwear so fascinating? And like, why do we wear it? And what's the point of it? And how long have we been wearing it for? And like, where's the evidence? And then there's other things like, what is underwear even made out of? And like, if we only wear underwear for a certain amount of time, what happens to it? We can't recycle underwear. So it ends up in a landfill, right? Like, a lot of other materials can go and they can get reused for things. But they end up in landfills as well. Like, there's a huge problem with textiles and landfills. Like, millions and millions of tons, like on a weekly basis, going into landfills. So, you know, underwear is part of that. And what did they used to do? Like, they didn't have landfill situations like we do now. So what did they used to do? What did you use your old underwear for? Well, I do know some of those answers because guess what? I have a quirky family. So the answer and all that. So for those of you who are brand new to this show, we often talk about all things pleasure, and you know, underwear covers those pleasure spots, so we're going to talk about them too. And we talk about these things from historical, psychological, physiological, all things to do with pleasure. And it happens that the underwear was talking this week. So that's why we're talking about the history and the mysteries of underwear. Why is underwear so vocal in my head right now, screaming out loud, wanting attention? I don't know, but it's happening. So there you go. It's weird. Can't say that I ever said, guess what I'm going to do today? I'm going to channel underwear. No, didn't think about that. No friends, I didn't. But it feels like that's what I'm doing. So there you go. So why do I talk about these things? It's because I have a fascination with sex and pleasure and human physiology and all things to do with the way that our bodies function and work. And why and how do we have pleasure is fascinating to me, has been since I was like 12 and realized that people could actually talk about these things for a living when I used to listen to Sex with Sue on Sunday nights as a little teen in the 80s in Canada and listen to this amazing sex educator. So that kind of was like the door that opened ideas for me that I could actually not only like study this, but I could actually talk about this stuff in my life. I'm also a holistic health practitioner. And what I find is a lot of times people come to me kind of on the sly, going, you know what? I have this autoimmune disorder. However, I have really low sex drive. Sure, you do. Because you know what? That autoimmune disorder affects your endocrine system. Those hormones that are manufactured by your endocrine system are affecting your mojo. So that happens. So absolutely, I get people who come to me who kind of like are like, I got this problem, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And I'm like, all right, gotcha, understood. Let's look at these underlying conditions in your body that may be contributing to this and what we can do to regulate it. So that's the other fun that I have in my life. And I definitely have a lot of fun doing research for this show. And tonight's research was a hoot and a half, I have to tell you. I started off with just Google, go Google search. I mean, I'm sure that my cookies and my like history is going to bring me websites that maybe you guys never even knew existed or don't necessarily show up top of your list, but they show up top of my list. But if you Google search the history of underwear, you're going to find that there is a lot of information out there. And some of the information is very specific. It'll be like the history of underwear in Asia, the history of underwear from Africa. So different continents, definitely. And I'm going to go with some basic concepts and some ideas that are from I would say Western history because that's where my reference material comes from, and my stories of my Scottish grandmother, also part of Western history. So I will be diving into a few of those things. I hope you guys sit back, relax, and enjoy. This is a totally fun and funny show. And if you happen to know more about underwear than I do and would love to come on and talk about underwear sometime in the future, and I know there are some really amazing historians out there who do fashion history. And if you happen to be an expert in fashion history, and you happen to be not only an expert in fashion history, but if you happen to be an expert in the niche of underclothing, like whether you're talking about all the different stays and corsets and slips and different like petticoats, all of that stuff. If you happen to know about all of that, and you happen to know about things going predating that, like going all the way back to say ancient Egypt. And probably even further back, the thing is that you're not necessarily going to find evidence of underwear unless the material has been able to be found in different sites when they dig up skeletons, if they happen to actually have cloth that has survived. And some of them do, like linens and furs and some, different leathers will survive. If they ha just happen to be in certain conditions, maybe like bogs or something, they might survive. My other fascination is with all things to do with like anything to do with archaeology. So I like to watch like Time Team for fun and archaeology shows for fun. And it's always amazing what they find. And I think it just gives such great insight into the people's lives, what they were doing in those different times, and how societies build on top of each other and create new histories and new levels of different things, like whether it's roads or houses, and they're just piled on top of each other. I found that stuff fascinating. So, talking about underwear, there are what we would say extant drawings of underwear that go back, from what we know, to definitely ancient Egypt. In different tombs, there are pictures that indicate what would look like loincloths on bodies. So there would have been those. There probably would have been, prior to that, different cloths that would have been used. That, so in ancient Egypt, we were talking about linens. Probably in other countries, we're talking about different leathers or suede type materials. But probably also linens and cottons and maybe wool. They would have been pretty common, really common materials then. Certainly not the satins and different things we have now with different like spandex and stretchy materials. No, those did not exist. And even though I'd have to look up like the history of when silk actually began to exist, but I'm not really sure when that happened. So we could look at that and then find out how long has that existed, because I'm sure that would have been a very much a top material. And so some of the other top materials, like linens, they were just really common. Even though they weren't easy to make, they were commonly used for clothing and super durable. And there were lots of other materials that were made from natural fibers that were super durable. And they actually would have been quite nice and soft over time after wear and use. And they would have had that lasting quality about them. So when we actually look at underwear that comes into the kind of underwear we wear these days was around the 1700s. But prior to that, we had things like petticoats that kind of look like culottes. They're like, a bit more like shorts kinds of things. And there's a whole bunch of other varieties, but I want to start with going all that way back, right to those loincloths. And like the question would be, what made us start doing this? And so my exploration in my brain goes to, was it actually that we became modest? I don't know that there was necessarily that, but if we're, for those of you who are looking at this from a biblical stance or a religious stance, you might say in your religious texts that, human beings became ashamed, or they became aware, self-aware of nudity and what that meant, or that it became that it meant something that it hadn't meant prior to that. It was more innocent. So then we covered up with fig leaves, according to some pictures from biblical references. So maybe we had fig leaves. Maybe we did do that. Maybe we wore different kinds of fibers that way, because we hadn't really established how to make fibers out of these different plant materials yet, by mulching them down and spinning them and weaving them and things. We hadn't figured that out yet. So we were just probably going for like big chunks of raw material, whether it was a leaf, whether it was, and I'm pretty sure that they would have figured out through that about things like poison ivy and like, whoo, don't put that leaf on your crotch, or poison oak. Like, that's one way to figure out what's not going to be safe. And they would have also had access to leathers and furs, so that would have been used too. And my first thought on like, why would we do that, is for safety. I'm thinking, if I'm walking around a wooded area, if I am a hunter-gatherer, for example, and I'm walking through wooded areas with wild animals, And I have something, for example, like a penis hanging down from my body, which might look like some kind of bait for, I don't know, an animal that's just like, oh, look, it's a worm. And maybe you get this giant eagle coming down at it. Like it could be a safety feature. Like underwear could have actually rescued us from having our genitals attacked. Or, you could be sleeping in a cave and sleep, maybe sleeping on your side, and your vaginal opening is exposed, and all of a sudden, like a mouse decides to take up house in there. I don't know, guys, but I'm just thinking, like, what's the most disgusting thing that could have happened that made people go, I need to cover this because I don't want that happening ever again? My thoughts are wild. I'm curious, what do you think? Why do we start to cover up? It's a curiosity. Was it modesty? And I did an episode about modesty last week. Was it modesty? Was it safety? Was it hygiene? What was it? What were we thinking? What were we using? And my best and greatest guests are leaves, leather, and fur. That's what my guesses are. What about you? So, we're gonna come back. We're gonna head to a commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
So for those of you who are listening and you're wondering about like this underwear situation, what were we wearing? Why were we wearing these things? What were we thinking? And how did we go from loincloths to G-strings? Like, what was this transition? How did we end up here? And it's kind of like we went from loincloths with potentially like something covering the front, kind of like a G-string, and possibly like something that just tied up our bum cheeks. So not that they tied up our bum cheeks, but it went up the middle and maybe tied around the sides. Probably say, I don't know why we did that, but there seemed to be some evidence of that somewhere. Or historians, when they go to put together, or archaeologists, when they go to put together scenes from, Neolithic man or different timelines of, and I'm not going to get those terms correct because I'm not an archaeologist, but when you go and you say go to the museum and you see different scenes, and you might notice that, back then the thought was that, yes, there was just this part that covered the front, likely for safety. That's my guess. rather than modesty, because probably that concept didn't really kick in until religions really started to develop. So prior to anything religious in the context that we know religion today, that probably wasn't a big deal. And the reason I say that is because there still are cultures on the planet and different parts of the world that are really remote where people are still wearing clothing that would probably be very similar to what was going on, say, 25, 30,000 years ago. And, you know, whether it's people in tribes that are in like remote areas of South America or remote areas of Africa, there's going to be some very interesting, I think, correlations to some of the things that you would look or think that you're going to look to find in going back, dating back several thousands of years. So, and some of those cultures actually, I've seen, I don't know, because it's one of those things I like to watch, seen videos where they actually don't cover their genitals at all, but they might have a flap on their bum, which might be just a practical thing of covering your bum for like when you're sitting down so that, you know, you're not leaving anything behind if you don't have like necessarily easy access to water to wash your body all the time. It could be a hygienic thing, could also be a belief system thing. So I don't think people go around asking those cultures, why do you cover this and not that? Though that would be my main question. And if you know the answer to why do they cover certain things and not other things, I would love to know. So I find it fascinating. So we look at those historical things because there are evidence of those, whether it's in drawings that are on walls or whether it's in different things that they found in archaeological sites. All of those things are probably going to lend us to some ideas of what existed. So we're going to move forward. And we're going to move forward to the linen cloth that was more of a loin cloth rather than those ones that were like fig leaves and leather and all of that. And so we move forward to like the time of production of materials where things like cottons and wool and linen are being made. And people are using that in practical ways. Probably they're covering up things that maybe for some reason at this point, you know, people are becoming a little bit more self-aware, self-conscious of, or comparing maybe each other's genitals. Like maybe it's like they're covering genitals so that you can't say, oh, so-and-so is this and so-and-so is that. There could be that. It could also be covering it to add a little bit of allure or interest. Don't actually know the logic behind why we started doing that. And it could be hygienic. Don't really know. But if you do look at, there is evidence in Roman times that the Romans did wear a variation of like a loincloth that was linen. And they were very hygienic. They loved their Roman baths, their big baths. They loved all of that stuff. They were also really into orgies and they were into all kinds of interesting things. And man, could they war. And they were really big on, you know, taking over the world and just expanding the Roman Empire like crazy. They also were amazing at roads and aqueducts. Like they did a lot of things. One of the things they did was underwear, guys. They did underwear. Like we, not that we have today, but probably that developed into the underwear that we have today. So what is the reason behind it? I don't think we'll ever actually know unless they're. If you happen to be a historian about underwear, are there writings? Is there actual literature that dates back that has been translated to explain to us about the mystery of underwear? Thus, it's the histories and mysteries, lots of unanswered questions, lots of things I wonder about this underwear. And then what did they do with this cloth afterwards? So, okay, so now you've got underwear that you're wearing, a piece of loincloth, and in time, it'll start to wear out, or it might get dirty, or stained, or things like that. Although the Romans also were really, really good at washing their butts, they had this kind of disgusting sponge that they would like share communally. But anyway, that's, you know, gross and fascinating at the same time. So they were kind of interested in hygiene and not the same way as we would regard hygiene, but they were interested. So they might have been doing it for hygienic purposes. They might have been doing it for modesty. Who knows? The thing is, they were doing it. They were doing loincloths. And then what did we do? Time goes on. That kind of lasts for quite a while, the kind of variation of a loincloth that would be worn under clothes, kind of hoisted on with belt. It would have just been basically a piece of material, and that it would have been kind of brought up around the waist and the back, and then just kind of tied on, likely with a string, because that would have been the easy thing to do. So there wouldn't have been very much distinguishing from, we'll say, men's underwear or women's underwear. What were women using at the time? Probably they were using some of the older material that was falling apart for their when they would have their periods to be able to, navigate the whole situation while wearing clothing so that you're not bleeding through everything. They were probably doing that, although lots of other cultures were not going to be doing that. They were doing the red tent sort of idea where you would go into a version of seclusion and spend time with other women who were bleeding. So that wouldn't have necessarily been a concern about like stopping the blood from going through your clothes, because you would have been sitting, meditating, doing works for your community in a very thoughtful way for that period of time. So the situation may have been that underwear also occurred for women in a different way than it did for men. As time goes on and we start to have the need for things like, well, let's say, for example, like women's modern underwear has gussets and men's do not, right? They look very different and they function very differently. And so the question is, like, why is that? Why don't men have a version of a gusset at the front of their underwear? But they don't. Whoever decided to design it decided not to give them that for extra added absorption, right? Maybe there's new modern underwear that there do have this absorption thing. I haven't seen any that have come out that have that, but maybe they will. And so women's underwear does, and I don't know about you, but that gusset never makes sense as to where it's located. I don't know. I don't know whose body it's modeled after, but it certainly wasn't mine. It is in the like weirdest location. I'm not sure what it's supposed to be catching. But anyway, the gusset, it's such a weird thing in underwear. And that is so modern. Probably only in the last 100 years have we had a gusset in underwear. Maybe we had some variation of that prior. So we're looking at it all from, pretty much from the time of the Romans until about the 15th century, even closer to the 17th century, we have the similar kind of versions of underwear going on, whether it's just wearing a loincloth or whether we're wearing things that are kind of like shorts, the petticoat, petticoats that had kind of, they would have been kind of like slips, but then some of them would have also had the variation where you might have had sort of like a pant short thing going on too, also could be because of periods, could also be for warmth that they were designed, but that wasn't as common from what I was reading about. So, but again, I'm not a historian about underwear, guys. This is more of a fascination. So feel free to add information and whatever you like to this weird, wild, wacky chat. So, why have we all chosen to stick with this thing that we started thousands of years ago? Was it generational? Did we all say you have to do this? It's, your grandmother wore underwear, so you should wear underwear. Are we moving out of that? Are people becoming really big on commando? Like, what's happening in the world right now? And actually, quite a few people are really big on commando that I personally know. And you know what? It's kind of an interesting thing to me. So I looked it up just to see what do doctors say about this going commando? And strangely, they say there is no reason why you can't as long as you stay clean, which surprised me because I'm thinking like jeans, there's friction, different materials right up against your genitals could also hold in more moisture, creating more fungal infections, yeast infections, that sort of thing. So I was like, really? Is that true that there's not a really good medical reason to use this? To me, I think there is, just as long as you're using materials that are healthy and breathable, because if you're using ones that aren't, then you're just going to be holding in moisture and whatever, because we sweat. It's what we do. So, yeah, it's curiosity, right? Anyway, we'll talk more about this weird, wacky, wild subject when we return. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. So just before break, we were talking about linen underwear. And although I was talking about it as being from Roman times, it actually does go even back before that, from what I am. So there's a site called thecollector.com that has the history of underwear if you want to like learn more about this. So very interesting stuff to me. And the, you know, they talk about how loincloths were worn in more hotter climates, which makes total sense. And the references I've been talking about have been more hotter climates for the different loincloths. But the oldest evidence, according to the collector, the oldest evidence of linen and leather panties comes from the Badarian culture of pre-dynastic Egypt from around 4400 BCE. So those were the most common materials used back then. And that trend continued for thousands of years right into ancient Rome. And then, you know, different materials start to be created over time, right? Like silks and things, but they would have been really expensive to use in that time. But in the Roman Empire as well, wool was common. A common material, and silk also started to show up then, but it was really expensive. So unless you were wealthy, you weren't wearing silk underwear, for sure. That would have been because they started traveling east, so they would have gotten materials from different Asian countries. That's really where the silks were being made. Thus, the Silk Road, if you've ever heard the term of the Silk Roads, that they traveled those roads. So one of the things that they talk about in this article is how nudity at the time of the Roman Empire was tied to class. So gladiators wore loincloths. Gladiators were not just slaves, but they were also usually imprisoned. So they wore loincloths and other forms of underwear as outerwear, while the higher class tended to cover their entire bodies with, things like togas and other garments and dresses. And they often didn't bother wearing underwear. So they were covered, but in different ways. But I'm pretty sure the women would have had to do something during menstruation, so they probably did have some kind of form of underwear. And the Greeks loved to exercise in the nude, so they would have, when you look at all the pictures of the Olympics, that are depicted in different forms of art, ancient Greek art, they were all pretty much nude. Even though the Greek men were said to have worn loincloths, it's not really sure as to whether women wore underwear at all. And so women, again, they must have been doing something, because I don't think they'd just be walking around having blood just drip down their leg. Maybe periods were different then. Maybe an entirely interesting show to do is to look at the history of how, if maybe periods have changed. Maybe we didn't bleed as much. Maybe it was not only that, but maybe it was those separate rooms or spaces that women would go to. So they didn't even think about that. So underwear was fascinating. And they weren't the only ones wearing underwear. Like the Mediterranean people, the Romans, the Greeks, they weren't the only ones wearing underwear or, going to Egypt. In China, there were also different undergarments that were worn through the Han Dynasty, which was 206 BCE to 220 CE, and they wore like a tunic style undergarment, which doesn't necessarily mean that it was a loincloth. It was more like an undershirt that went under everything. So, and those kinds of styles of tunics, from when I watch different history shows on clothing, because I'm a weirdo and that's what I do too. So they often talk about having the undergarments that were really important to protect the outer clothes. So the undergarments got washed regularly, but the outer garments, because you had so many undergarments that were under layers, sometimes three or four, your outer clothes only got dirty if, say, they were like dragging in the mud or if something spilled on them. And they were also really expensive, usually, especially for the people who were wearing those three and four layers of clothing, like aristocrats. The other people who were wearing two or three layers might not have had the same clothes on the outside, but they would have had very similar clothes that were underclothes, basically just a tunic. So underwear in the Middle Ages was also interesting. If you ever want to look up pictures of that, they had these sort of like pants that would go right up to the crotch, and then the shirt would be tucked in, and that way a guy could go easily to the bathroom and just like pull out. They were called chaussettes, which is a French word, which I suppose is close to what chaussette. What is that in French? I just know that there's a word chaussette in French, and I can't remember what it means. But they had something called chaussettes that were being worn, and it gave access so that you could go pee, right? So the genitals, they're not exposed; they're covered with like the tunic style, sort of shirt. But you could easily go to the bathroom without having to take all your multiple layers off, because there were a lot of multiple layers of clothes, especially in the Middle Ages. So these kinds of things would have tied around like the upper legs. They would have had given easy access to the front flap of the clothing, because the pants at the time had front flaps to easily untie those so that, guys could urinate. And they also wore things called cod pieces. If you've ever read anything Shakespeare, there are references to cod pieces quite often in Shakespeare, using it as ways to be funny or insulting or whatever for jokes. Usually, cod pieces are brought up in Shakespearean writing. They were often padded, and it was really to try and hide the size of the person's manhood, right? So making it look and appear much bigger than it was. So if you ever look at pictures from the 1500s, 1600s, even like late 1400s, you're going to notice that these cod pieces make these men look like they were hung like donkeys. They probably weren't. In fact, they probably padded the poop out of those. Women were wearing padding at the time too to make their butts look bigger. They had ones that made their hips look bigger. The padding in clothing was actually very intentional, and they would even have extra pieces to put under the clothes so that they would have the padding going on. And those shirts, those tunics at the time were called chemise, just like they in French still it means a shirt. And they wore those chemises too, and they would tuck into their clothes, and the women would wear them too. They were all these like underclothings that were very useful in protecting the outer clothes. So, yeah, if that's something that's interesting to you, go out, just have a hoot and a laugh, because it's fascinating. But you'll find that there's also a whole other history too, like around bras and not only just bras, but like corsets and stays and things that would have held the boobs in place. And that goes back really far too. In fact, in China, the Ming Dynasty, there's evidence of things that were very much bra-like back to like the 1360s to the 1640s. So wild. And it was there. It was there for ages and ages. And they have some of this stuff still surviving as material in different museum pieces. Some of them dating back as far as the 15th century, which is, well, as some of the undergarments, maybe even further back as extant pieces. So yeah, if that is a curiosity to you, maybe I'll even see if I can find somebody who's an expert in corsets and things, because I'm definitely not an expert in it. But when I have heard people who are experts in corsets and stays and different pieces like that, I find it fascinating. Like the stuff they know, it's just amazing. So I'm not that level of education on undergarments, but I definitely find it fascinating. So I'm happy to share what I have gleaned from my research in the last few days around this. So there, this whole idea of guys having cod pieces to like make sure their manhood looks bigger. Like, now we're at a day and age where there are bras that can make your boobs look two sizes bigger, and there's underwear that can make your butt look bigger. There's all kinds of stuff happening that makes our bodies look different than they are. So, yeah. So we're an interesting group of people, aren't we? We're No matter what, at some point in history, we'll want our noses to look bigger, or our boobs to look bigger, or smaller, or our butts to look bigger, or our tummies to look bigger. We're somehow never fully satisfied with how we look, and we always are on the hunt to try and change things. Why? Because we, I think, innately love change, and we're curious and strange creatures. So, maybe gross to some of you, but the fact that there is a whole industry, not just based on new underwear, but based on used underwear. So that's something that we're also going to be talking about. And there even was for quite a while in Japan. I had a friend who was talking about this the other day. We were talking about some, I don't know, weird conversations on different topics. And she had brought up that when she had gone to Japan about 20 years ago, maybe less, that when she was there were vending machines with used underwear. And I was like, yeah, that's actually really common. You'd be surprised. We were talking about how it's not just in Japanese culture, but actually it's cross-cultural. And you'll find more and more that if that's something you want to do with your life, there are a lot of websites out there that offer the service to sell your used underwear. And some of those sites will show that, you know, if you wear your underwear for an hour, 10 hours, a day, 2 days, a week, 3 weeks. I think the longest was like 3 weeks, maybe a month. I don't know. But the longer they're worn, the more, or the longer they're claimed to be worn. I don't know how you prove this, but the longer they're worn or claimed to be worn, the more money they're worth. And I don't even remember on these sites because I had a friend send this to me years ago when, pretty much when I started this, when I started this show, I was given some sites to check out, and one of them happened to be a used underwear site. And of course, I looked at it, curiosity, and it blew my mind how much money somebody was willing to spend on used underwear, like thousands of dollars on a pair of used underwear. And they all stated how long they'd been worn for. So I'm really curious, how do you prove that? I don't know if it matters. It's more like they're buying the concept, just like the guy who bought the invisible art piece for like $10 million, and the artist like said, "This is actually your art piece. So there's nothing here, and here's proof that I said that this is my art piece, and it's nothing." Yeah, could be that. Could just be the person's word saying that that's what it is, more for the feeling of it or the essence of it, I guess. So who knows? Not sure. So yeah, anyway, we'll talk about some of those interesting, fun websites, some other things like how long should you be wearing your underwear for? And of course, the story of my great grandma when you come back. You're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet, sweet pleasure seekers. So, just before break, I kind of mentioned that, you know, people are getting on websites and selling their used underwear. This isn't new, guys. This has been going on for like decades since the internet has been available. That was like the first things that went out there were all sex-related sites. And definitely used underwear was one of them. The top search that when I go to search websites that sell used underwear, the top site that comes out twice in a row is Sniffer, S-N-I-F-F-F, three F's, R, sniffer.com. And if you're looking to sell your used underwear, apparently that's a safe place to go. And you can get a whiff on that anonymously. So there are people who try and sell it on eBay and things too, but eBay is not okay with you selling used underwear, even if it's washed. So there are different sites. If you want to go on and you look up websites that sell used underwear, there is an entire lineup about the top sites like Panty Deal, Sophia Gray, All Things Worn, Sniffer. They do put eBay on there, but that's not a smart move because eBay is not interested in selling used stuff. So it can be a challenge for people, especially who are buyers, but also people who are sellers. There's, you know, a lot of scams and privacy issues. So it's tough to find reliable platforms, they say. And so the some of the best sites that I had mentioned, they're selling underwear from anywhere from, starting at around $200. People are making like $200 to $500 extra a month on selling their underwear. So I guess it depends on what you're buying it for. If you're buying underwear that's like $50 and you're selling it for less than that, I don't know if that's worth it. You could probably wear your underwear for a little while to make it worth it. So there are sites that are free to sign up, but you have to pay like a monthly fee. So Panty Deal is one of those ones that you can sign up for free, and but there's a monthly deal whether you sell or not. So and the competition is apparently really intense. Sophia Gray, you'll be charged $24.99 for 3 months, or there's like 6 month deals, and you get to keep 100% of your panty sales. So look up your what you're interested in, what works for you. You can also get like Sniffer for $10.95 for a month, or like you can get 6 months for different prices. And there's also ones called All Things Worn. But those are not just underwear sites. Those are all kinds of all things worn and used. Kink coins, yeah. So there's apparently you can sell them on Twitter, but I'm kind of surprised that people would go on Twitter. If you look under used panties and selling panties and used panties, apparently you'll find all kinds of sites on by going through Twitter. So just giving you guys some ideas if you need to make some money on the side in your life and you don't, and you're thinking, what am I going to do with this pile of underwear I got sitting there? Certainly don't want to put it in the landfills. No, because I'm telling you, there's got to be millions of tons of underwear in the landfills. It's like you're not going to buy that from, I don't know, like a secondhand shop, are you? I don't think so. Unless you're doing it for kinky purposes, I don't know what you'd use used underwear for. Although, I wanted to let you guys know, my great grandmother would not just keep her underwear for as long as she could and mend them. And I stopped doing that about 5 years ago, guys. I was in the mending phase. I'd be like, oh, the elastic's gone. I'll just put in a new elastic. I don't know what it was. It was a strange genetic thing that got passed on from my great grandma, the Scotswoman, who passed it on to my grandmother, who passed it on to my mother, who passed it on to me. And I am breaking the generational curse of underwear. And I have in the last 5 years, I actually now throw out old underwear, but we used to use them for dusting. Absolutely. That is one of the comments in the chat room. And absolutely, that is what my grandmother would have, my great grandmother would have used them for. It would have been cut up. It would have been, yep, used for dusting until it was absolutely falling apart. That's also, you got to understand that the underwear then was usually cotton and it would eventually fall apart. So you'd cut out whatever parts you didn't want and use the rest because you could. So yeah, kind of wild and crazy times. The story about my great grandma is that when she was 85 years old or maybe 90 at the time, and my aunt went to go shopping for her and buy her new underwear. And she always got her underwear at a specific store in this specific town where she lived in Canada. And my aunt went to that store and bought these underwear that were identical to the underwear that my great grandmother had been wearing since probably the 1960s, identical style, all of it. And she brought them home to my grandmother, who great grandmother, who then said, found out the price of them when they were quite expensive underwear. She thought they should cost what they did in the 1960s, but they had gone up dramatically since then. And this would have been the 90s, maybe 1990. She died in 2002 at the age of 106. And at the age of 90, she figured, forget it. I don't need new underwear. I'm just going to keep on wearing my old stuff and just patch it up. And that's what she did. She is a character upon characters, but man, her frugalness had her not only enjoy life, but she actually left money for as a legacy for her family. So her underwear might have been what got her to have all that cash. Like she could have spent thousands on underwear. She chose not to. Think about that. Think about that. What are you wasting your thousands of dollars on underwear for? Go save that cash. Leave a legacy.
Thank you for listening to The Pleasure Zone with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic. The Pleasure Zone returns next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.